God bless you. Well, let's get our Bibles out this morning. I was considering whether to use my chalkboard this morning, but I just may just end up hauling off and preaching a little bit. All right. Well, Revelation chapter 4 and verse 8. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 8. God bless all of you. It's good to see everyone here this morning in the house of God. And you want to keep your Bible this morning. I'll be going through some scriptures. We're going to look at a number of scriptures here this morning that deal with this. Revelation chapter 4, verse 8. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Amen. Which was. I want to preach about that. The God that which was. God which was. Amen. I know it doesn't seem very relevant, but that's what the angels, the four beasts, which are angels, six wings. The Bible says with two wings they fly, with two wings they cover their feet, with two wings they cover their faces. And day and night they do not cease to say, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Praise God. Gives me goosebumps just thinking about it. Praise the Lord. If we were in the presence of God this morning, we could see what goes on around the throne of God every day that we live. Oh my, I'll tell you what, it would revolutionize how we come to church. Because that's the kind of church we're going to have when we get there, if we make it. Praise the Lord. Well, let's pray together. Let's ask for the help of the Lord this morning. Father, we thank you for the good word of God today, and we ask you to anoint it to our hearts. We ask you to speak to us this morning. We give you thanks. We give you praise today in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. 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 God bless you. You can be seated this morning. If our God was just a God of today, he would not be big enough for us. Amen. But the Bible says here that he is the God of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Amen. And I believe this morning that all of us must come to the reality that these three periods of time in our lives, these three periods in our life, is something that you and I must confront. We all must confront these three realities of life. And of course, that would be the past, the present, and the future. And the future pretty much stands alone in the wilderness of this world, and it calls for men and women to its promises. It's a beckoning. It calls. It is the future, and the promises that the future hold in this world are not too exciting, but the promises that we have in the future in God are exciting and real. Amen. It is the future that gives us hope. It is the future that gives us drive. Amen. It is the future. It is a belief in something better coming in the future. It is largely based upon things that have happened in the past and in the present. The present is a very important part of our lives, for what we do today is going to affect our future. They're not always good decisions that we make, but then there are good decisions that we make. Amen. And they have a way of following us into our future. They have a way of going with us as we go along. And that's why it's so very important to do the right thing today, no matter how hard it is, no matter how much the cost is. Somebody, it was Brother J.T. Pugh many years ago, I heard him make the statement, and he said that which is not done right today will have to be fixed tomorrow, and when it's fixed tomorrow, it's going to cost more than if we did it right today. And it's so very true. Somebody that does not do their job on the assembly line and they pass it on for someone else, it usually costs many, many times more than what it would have cost just for that person to do it right when they had that opportunity. And we have a dilemma here this morning because you and I, we have not all made the right decisions in our past. The Bible calls it sin. Amen. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so all of us have a past that we must deal with. If you're here this morning and you have not dealt with your past in relationship to God, I want to try to minister to you this morning because in heaven this morning, the angels are declaring truth about God. And I believe that truth should resonate with each of us and give us hope for today and give us hope for tomorrow. Amen. And I cannot imagine there in chapter 4, you can go back to Revelation chapter 4 and verse 4, there were 24 elders around the throne. I cannot imagine the sight. I cannot imagine the feeling. I cannot imagine the traumatic experience that it must have been. It would be in a traumatic experience for me if I just saw an angel. I've never seen an angel. Anybody here this morning seen an angel? Well, maybe somebody has. Amen. Brother Darrell and Brother Troy were on their way to Wichita the other day, and they had to stop alongside the road and do some repairs, and a man in white came up and said, "Can I help you?" And when they were done, he disappeared. I don't know if that was an angel or not, but it sure goes along with a lot of other stories I've heard of other people that have been ministered to by angels. Amen. The Bible says that we have ministering angels and that we have entertained them unaware that they were even an angel. Amen. But to see one in a white robe and to appear in your bedroom or somewhere, pop into the seat beside you while you're driving down the road, they usually don't do that because it'd be too many accidents. I saw an angel. My, what a traumatic experience that must be. But for John to get caught up into heaven itself and to see the throne of God and to hear the sounds that are taking place in heaven must have been an awesome, traumatic experience in his life. And the angels that are full of eyes within and without, meaning that all over his face is eyes, all over his wings were eyes, all over his body were eyes. And could it be that those angels, those four angels, are representative of what the Bible calls the watchers? Amen. And in the Old Testament, when Nebuchadnezzar, I believe it was, that there was a watcher that was watching. And I don't know if that's what that is. I really think that we see through a glass darkly now, as the Bible says. But then we are going to see face to face. And we're going to see what it was really like and what's really happened. We've all got our theories, and we all have our ideas of what we think it's going to be like. But when we get there, I think we're going to have the shock of our life. And it won't be for the bad. It will be for the good. Amen. And they carried a message here in heaven. They carry a message on a daily basis. And it is a profound message. A message so profound that the elders All of the 12 of the Old Testament and the 12 of the New Testament, they fell on their faces and they cried out, "Thou art worthy to receive glory and honor and power." Amen. And they declared him as the great creator of all things, and that they were created not for their pleasure nor for our pleasure, but for his pleasure. Amen. And the very first thing that they declared, I think is significant here this morning, is the fact that God was. Amen. Praise God. They rest not day and night saying, "Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was." Amen. Why didn't they just say, "He is"? Praise God. He said in the Old Testament, "I am." And that speaks of our present situation. But in Revelation here, they said, "Who was, who is, and is to come." Amen. And so there's something about this that's very important. And I hope that you all will stay with me here this morning. All of us, every one of us, have a tainted past. Amen. Every one of us have some things in the past that we look at, and they affect the present, and all too often they affect the future. But if that's all we could look at here this morning, we could become very depressed, and we could lose our hope, and we could lose any sense of desire for our life and for our future. But I hope this morning that by the time we are finished here today, that somehow or another you can understand the great God that we serve a little bit better, and that you can have a better hope, amen, a higher hope, a greater hope in life than just living in the past or in the present. Amen. Because God has a great future for us. And God has a great presence present for us as well. Amen. In other words, today. And in the beginning, mankind sinned in the garden. I won't go into a long detail about this. I think we all know the story. But sin had to be dealt with by death. And immediately their sin caused something. It took them from innocence to enlightenment. Amen. They left innocence behind, and now they were enlightened. Life, I say it like this, with the little children that run around and they're all excited every time we see them. They're the life of the party. And my comment is, life is exciting when it's simple. Amen. They don't know a whole lot. They don't understand a whole lot. They haven't experienced a whole lot. And the Lord willing, my grandson's coming this week on Friday. Going to get to see little Isaiah. And I noticed that he's starting to smile a little bit. And so him and Grandpa are going to have a good time this coming week. Amen. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm not going to lie to you. Amen. So if you don't get to hold him, it'd be because I'm holding him. Amen. And we start out in life with that great enthusiasm and excitement. Amen. No, I'll let you hold him. Praise the Lord. As long as Mama says it's all right. And we think that it's really grand and great. But you know what? Something takes place. And that something that takes place is usually quite ugly. Amen. It's called the serpent. The serpent was there in the tree, in the garden, and he began to talk to Eve, and he began to reason with her, and he began to say things that she had never thought of before. And before it was all said and done, she had eaten of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thinking that I'm going to go higher, thinking that God's word and God's commandments are not really that important. I can just do whatever I want to do, and everything will be all right, or I will be better. But the truth of the matter is that God's commandments are the greatest thing in all of the world. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The law of the Lord is perfect, but we have failed in the law of God. And so it is true then that we still deal with their sins. So the present of their life, they didn't have any past because they were directly created by God. Adam woke up and crawled out of the ground, and that was the beginning of his life. He was a full-grown adult when God created him. Eve was a full-grown adult. There was no childhood. There was no past. They started in a beautiful present time, and then it led to some consequences. Amen. It led to the death of an innocent party. It led to the death of their son, Abel, and it led to the death of an animal so that God could clothe them in skins because he did not want to look upon their nakedness. And once it took place, it opened the door for their children to take on this nature and eventually all of us. The Bible says from the blood of Abel through the course of time, the sins of mankind has built up like a gigantic mountain, taller than any mountain we have in this world. And so large was that situation that it took a supreme sacrifice. It took a supreme payment. Amen. It took something that was very, very costly, and that thing that was costly was the blood of Jesus Christ on Calvary. Somebody said, thank God. Thank God. The innocent died for the guilty because it was the only way that it could be resolved. It was the only way that it could be dealt with and taken care of. And so what we must do is we've got to look at this a little bit closer and see what actually took place. And I was going to use the chalkboard this morning, but let's go to the book of Hebrews chapter 10. If you promise you'll stay with me here this morning. All right, a couple of you will. Well, praise God. We'll have a good time. Amen. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 1. If you go all the way through verse 9, it talks about the sacrifice. And so when we talk about the sacrifice for our future, that's what we're really talking about this morning, is our future. Where are you headed in your future? Where are you going to end up in your future? And maybe some of us here this morning think we've got it figured out, but my future rests in God. My future hope is heaven. Amen. My future hope is that my children will be saved. My future hope is to be with the Lord for all of eternity. And so it's very important that when we look at the sacrifice of Calvary, that we don't look at it just in a selfish sort of way where we say, Jesus died for my sins. We must look at it that way, but we've got to look at who made the sacrifice. And this is very important because if it was just a bull or a lamb or a turtle dove or a pigeon, as they used in the scriptures or in the Old Testament, we would look at it and say, I'm putting my salvation in a bull. I'm putting my salvation into the hope of a lamb or into the hope of a turtle dove or a pigeon or a goat, or whatever sacrifice I bring to God. No, we've got to look at the sacrifice and we must examine it and see who it was that made the sacrifice. Makes sense, doesn't it? Well, praise the Lord. Chapter 10, verse 1, for the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they have not ceased to be offered, because that the worshipers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sin. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. All right, so it talks about the sacrifice here. It has a shadow of good things to come. And it says that that every year there was a remembrance. Everybody said remember. Remember. All right, I remember. What are you going to remember? The word remember, by its very nature, means the past. Amen. If you told somebody, I remember what I did 5 years from now, they would look at you funny. Or I remember what I did at 5 o'clock this afternoon. That wouldn't make any sense. We remember the past. And so in the Old Testament, there was a past, that which was. Amen. And it says, for it is not possible, verse 4, that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, everybody said, wherefore. So now we're going to deal with this. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world. Now somebody's going to come into the world here. Amen. Somebody's going to come with a sacrifice to offer that is not a blood of bulls and goats and so on and so forth. But when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. Amen. Above, when he said sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither had pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God, that he taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. Amen. Well, praise God. I'll tell you what, we ought to shout about some of these things, because we're not just church attenders here this morning. Praise God. We haven't accepted a new way of life just because we needed it at some point in our life. But we're here this morning because of somebody who made a sacrifice. Praise the Lord. Well, who was it that came in the volume of the book? Well, we know that it was Jesus Christ. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 19, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. What a powerful scripture we have there this morning. To wit, that God was in Christ. Or we could say it this way, the Father was in the Son. God was in Christ. It wasn't one God inside of another God, but it was God in Christ. Jesus Christ was a man. He was 100% man, but he was 100% God at the same time. Amen. In him dwelt fully all the Godhead bodily. Amen. And the Bible says, ye are complete in him, not in them. We are complete in him. And so some have said that he is a second person of a Holy Trinity, which was not even taught until the 4th or 5th century unto Christians. And at that point in time, they still didn't understand their teaching, and to this day still do not understand it, because it is not found in the Word of God. The Bible says in the greatest commandment, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Amen. Not three in one, but one. Amen. And the Old Testament Jews, Abraham, Moses, David, All of the great men of the Old Testament, they never believed in anything but one God. They were purely monotheistic. And so we have to understand then this morning that when he came down to this world and spoke the word into the womb of Mary, and that child was born, that child was called Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Amen. So when he walked on the shores of Galilee, it was God walking on the shores of Galilee. In a body. Amen. And he said, lo, in the volume of the book it is recorded of me. And then in another place there he said, but a body thou hast prepared. Amen. A body thou hast prepared. Who was that body? Amen. Does God have a body? The Bible says God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. The Bible also says that he is the invisible God. Amen. He is the invisible God this morning. Somebody help me this morning. Praise God. This is exciting stuff here today. Amen. This is who made the sacrifice for us. It wasn't some demigod that came along. It wasn't some manufactured god by humanity. It wasn't some wild idea that somebody got and said, this is now the sacrifice for your sins. Because, folks, we would never have the opportunity to have real joy. We would never have the opportunity to have freedom. Amen. We would never have the opportunity to be loosed from our past. Amen. Well, praise God. The only way that it would work is if God himself came. Well, praise God. He humbled himself unto the cross. Who did that? Amen. 1 John 3:16. We like John 3:16. God sent his only begotten son. And we could go into that this morning. But in 1 John 3:16 it says, hereby perceive we the love of God, in that he, God, laid down his life for us. God humbled himself, the one who sits high and lifted up on the throne. How in the world can we lift ourselves up after we're saved? I'm telling you what, we cannot lift ourselves up. We must walk in humility. We must walk in servitude. Amen. We must walk in a spirit that is the spirit of God. God humbled himself and literally put on a robe of flesh. Can you imagine what it was like? Can you imagine the God of heaven who knew no sin, the God of heaven who cannot be tempted with sin, the God of heaven who is righteous in every way, who is holy, holy, holy in every aspect. In him is no darkness, in him is only light. To come down and condescend and humble himself to that which he himself created. That's why the Bible says in John chapter 1 that he was in the world and the world was created by him. Well, praise God. He came down to the world that he created. Now listen, folks, and in the span of his hand, from the tip of his little finger to the tip of his thumb, and God doesn't have a literal hand, God is a spirit, but the Bible says that the heavens are in the span of his hand. How much smaller would the earth be? It wouldn't even be as big as a cell. It might be as big as an atom on the face of your hand. And God, who is so big, he holds it all in one hand. He condescended. Amen. And he went down to that which he created, and he allowed the creature to slap him in the face. He allowed the creature, amen, to hang him on a cross and shove a spear into his side. He allowed them to spit in his face. He allowed them to do all of those things. Hey, I'm telling you what, Calvary was not just an event in history. Calvary was not just something that happened 2,000 years ago that's not relevant for my life. I'm telling you what, it is so relevant that if I don't get a handle on what it really was and what took place, I'm not going to walk in the victory that I need to walk in. And neither will you. Praise God. I don't know about you, but I want to walk in the victory. I want to walk with joy. Amen. Well, you say things have happened. I'm talking about the past here this morning. Amen. And every one of us are going to have to deal with those things in light of Calvary. Amen. I said in light of Calvary. And in another place it says that God, well, let's go a little bit further here this morning. And it says that God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give unto us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. I'm just quoting it, that the excellency of God may be of, maybe that the excellency may be of God and not of us. Amen. And that's what we want. The God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness condescended and came down to this world. He said, let there be light in Genesis chapter 1, and there was light. Praise God. In other words, God just opened himself up a little bit and light shined out. And it's so amazing. It really is. And I'm not going to bore you here this morning, but it's so amazing that scientists say today that energy cannot be destroyed. You cannot destroy energy. The only thing you can do is make it into a different form. But energy does not go away. Heat does not go away. We think it does, but it doesn't. It goes somewhere else, or it changes another form. And so when God opened himself up just a little bit and light shined, that light's going to continue. Praise God. I got a feeling that's why all the stars came into existence. God just opened himself up and all these stars came into existence. And they're still shining the light. And light comes out of them. And we have light, amen, every day from the sun because of that word, that one word, let there be light. Four words. And all of the stars gave forth their light. Amen. Or actually they had the resource to form or to be created and produce light. Amen. Because he created the light before he created the stars. But the stars had to have some light from somewhere, so God created the light first. Amen. I'm not an expert on what happened on the day of creation. Some people say they know, and they say it was a big bang, but you know what? They're going to experience a big bang somewhere down the road in the future. Amen. And their only hope is that the whole thing is going to collapse again and there'll be another big bang and it'll all start all over again and billions of years will go by and none of us will ever be remembered and none of us will even exist. We will be changed into a different form of energy and that's what it's all about. What hope do they have? No wonder they're so angry all the time. Amen. Praise God. And no wonder some of us can be happy even in difficult situations because we know who made the sacrifice. Amen. Well, praise God. I'm thankful for that sacrifice. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10 now. And so not only do we need to know who made the sacrifice, but what did the sacrifice do? Verse 10, by the which will we are sanctified, everybody said sanctified, through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, everybody said forever. Forever. He sat down on the right hand of God. Amen. From henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool, for one For by one offering he hath perfected, everybody said perfected, perfected forever them that are sanctified. And so we have a couple of words here that help us to understand what happened when he made that sacrifice. What did the sacrifice actually do? Amen. And two things are brought out here. One of them is brought out twice, and that is the word sanctified, and then it is the word perfected. Amen. And the word sanctified there means to make holy. To make holy. It wasn't always holy, but at a point in time, it was made holy. Praise God. And then perfected means to finish or to complete. Praise God. Amen. Well, praise God. And so what we have this morning is not a one-time experience in the timeline of our life. Oh, I got saved 40 years ago, or I got saved 5 years ago, or 10 days ago. Listen, I'm telling you, that was not the end of the matter, but praise God, it was a glorious beginning of the matter. Amen. We were sanctified. Amen. All of us were unholy. None of us are holy. God is the only thing in the universe that is holy within himself. He never became holy. He is holy. Well, praise God. He didn't have to come to another karma, amen, to become holy or to become like Buddha, amen. I don't want to have that big of a belly anyway. He can have that. But I don't want to go in that direction, amen. But praise God, he perfected, he sanctified rather, he made us holy. And this morning, do you feel holy? You don't have to answer that. But some of you this morning may not feel holy. You may not feel like everything is on, like you're on top of your game, so to speak. And you got to be careful. You've got to be real careful, because in this world, because it is so anti-God and it is so anti-Bible and anti-Christian, if you want to say it that way, the only thing that people can look forward to is accomplishment. And so it's accomplishment driven. What are you doing for your career? What are you doing with your life? How can you achieve more? And it's all about achievement, and it's all about gaining and getting and reaching and goals and all of that. You know, they talk about it in school. They talk about it in college. It's talked about everywhere. It's talked about on the stock markets. It's talked about in just about every area. You work on a job, you're rated by your performance. Praise the Lord. Rightfully so. Amen. I'm not condemning that. But it is easy for us to get to the place where we don't rest in who we are in God, but we rest in what we have accomplished and what we have achieved in our lives. The measure of who you are is not the house you live in. The measure of who you are is not how much money you make or don't make. The measure of who you are is not any level of achievement or accomplishment, but it really comes down to this simple thing, amen, and it is, who are you in God? And if you can say, he made me holy, praise God. Can you say that? Sometimes it's very difficult to even think about saying that, because we think that we're being proud, or we're being lifted up, or something along those lines. And certainly that did happen with the Pharisees and the religious leaders of Jesus' day. They became proud. You can't be proud and holy at the same time. Well, praise the Lord. You got to be holy and humble at the same time. To this man will I look, who is of a broken heart and a contrite or a humble spirit, and who trembles at my word. That's the one that God's going to come to and sanctify. Amen. And he's sanctified forever. Praise the Lord. That means that if 2 years ago I was sanctified by the Lord, that when I fall today and I do something I'm not supposed to do, that all of a sudden that sacrifice that he made back then and the payment that was made for my salvation is no longer in effect. Amen. But it's what happened today. And that's why we get back to the achievement situation again. And we don't live under the canopy of sanctification and the grace of God, but we develop a system of works. Amen. Thank God for the commandments of God. That's not works. That's obedience to the commandments. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's actually necessary. If we don't obey the commandments of God, then we nullify the sacrifice. We cancel out the sacrifice. Amen. But what we've got to do is we've got to walk in sanctification. Praise the Lord. And this is not a license to sin. It is not a license to do whatever you want to do and say, I'm sanctified. Somebody came along, I think it was Luther, came along. He was supposedly a reformer, but was really not a reformer. Luther and Calvin, they actually burned people at the stake that didn't believe like them. So if that's the Reformation, I don't know. Well, praise God. And they came along and they said, we are saved by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. And one of them was an avid drinker of alcohol. And when the devil would come along and tempt him, he said, I would do more sins than the devil tempted me with. Why would the devil even tempt him if he was saved and going to stay saved? If you're saved and going to stay saved, you can't get lost, so why would the devil even bother with you? What kind of relevance would the devil even have? He would have no power and authority to destroy men's lives or anything, because we're saved. We're always saved. And whatever we do, we're sanctified. We're walking around as holy people while we're lying and cheating and stealing and killing and murdering. No, listen, I'm telling you what. That was not a reformation. That was an addition to the philosophy that they were attempting to come out of. But I'm telling you this morning, we must live, we must strive to live holy before the Lord by obedience to the commandments of God. Well, praise the Lord. Once and for all, he sanctified to make holy. You say, well, I don't know if I'm holy or not. Well, did you get your sins washed away in Jesus' name? Were you filled with the Holy Ghost? Yeah, I have the Holy Ghost. Well, just think about it this morning. Holy Ghost. Amen. So when the Holy Ghost comes in you, that which is in you is of God. It is God. It is an earnest of God, an earnest of our inheritance, and it is holy. Praise God. It is holy. And so we can say, I was sanctified. I am sanctified. Can you say that this morning? I am sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. Praise God. What a powerful statement. And then he said he has perfected, to finish or to complete. And so when we understand this, amen, when we understand that it wasn't just a one-time situation, but it was the beginning of an adventure to finish or to complete. That means that we have not arrived. That means that we are still in this body of flesh, and we are subject to temptation. We are subject to sin. But the Bible says, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Christ Jesus the righteous, who is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. The problem is we can't forgive ourselves. And the problem is that other people won't forgive us. Well, praise the Lord. That's why we need to strive to forgive others. Somebody said amen. And that's why we don't need to worry about it if others don't forgive us. You know why? Because of the one who came and made the sacrifice. Who made the sacrifice? God made the sacrifice. And so it is a wonderful thing that we can walk in. Praise God. I'm sorry if you can't forgive me, but God has forgiven me, and I'm truly sorry for what I did. But I'm telling you, I'm going to walk in joy. I'm not going to, well, praise the Lord. I'm not going to let somebody put me in a prison. I'm not going to do that. Because if you have the ability to put me into a prison, then what I'm saying is you're more powerful than God. Because he set me free from my prison. Well, praise the Lord. He set me free from my prison. And I don't have to go back to that prison. I don't have to go back. And dear Lord, help us. I've been in that prison before. And it's not a good place to be. It's a prison of depression. It is a prison of all kinds of things. But I'm telling you what, when I got set free, anybody remember when you got set free from that prison? Anybody remember being set free? Some of you don't even remember it anymore. Got set free from alcohol. Got set free from drugs. Got set free from all kinds of things in your life. Praise the Lord. It wasn't just coming to an altar and speaking in other tongues. It wasn't just going to the water, being baptized by the preacher and everybody clapping and everybody saying, how do you feel? Oh, is it wonderful? Oh, it was a change of my life and things are different. No, it was much, much more than that. I'm telling you what, it was God Almighty who condescended to this world. It was God Almighty that came down and said, I'm going to sanctify you, and now my goal and your goal is that I'm going to finish you. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. Well, praise God. And verse 16, Hebrews 10 and verse 16. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Praise God. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days. After what days? After the days that he came and went to Calvary. After the day that you got saved. After the day that you were filled, after the day that you accepted the gospel and obeyed the gospel of death, burial, resurrection, repentance, baptism, and receiving the Holy Ghost. Amen. After those days, amen, I will perfect you. I will make a new covenant with you. And it's not going to be on tables of stone, but it's going to be on the tables of the heart. Praise God. The past can remind us of how unholy we were and what we've done. But I'm telling you, if you're not careful about this, you can allow the past to lie to you and tell you that you're a failure and that there is no hope for you. Praise God. But I don't believe that this morning. I believe that there is hope for me. Amen. I've looked in the mirror and said, is there any hope for you? Amen. When I was a brand new convert, I did not understand these things. And I would look in the mirror with tears flowing down my face, and I would say, "Are you ever going to make anything out of your life?" That's how I felt about myself. And maybe you looked in the mirror and saw something great and fantastic, and you loved what you saw when you looked in the mirror. But I didn't. Amen. Well, praise God. Is anybody with me here this morning?
Amen.
Glory. I'm telling you, you are somebody if God came in and touched your life and filled you with the Holy Ghost. Well, let's move on. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Doesn't that excite you this morning? He hath made him to be sin, the body. Amen. Thou hast prepared a body. And that man, Jesus Christ, was filled with the Father, to wit that God was in Christ. And all the way through the Passion, all the way on the road to the hill of Calvary, all the way until the moment that sin entered into that body, God Almighty was there. And that's why Jesus cried out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And the spirit that was in him left, and he took on the sins of the whole world.
Amen.
Dear Lord, what a powerful moment. That's why the earth shook. That's why the sun was darkened for several hours. It could not look upon the spectacle of God Almighty and hanging on that cross. It could not bear to even look at it. And darkness was over the land, and the earth shook. Oh God, I'm telling you what, folks, it was a whole lot more than just a little feel good on a Sunday night service. It's a whole lot more than waking up and having a good day or a bad day. It's a whole lot more, amen, than what we are looking for in this life. It was God coming down and becoming sin, his Son becoming sin for us, for the express purpose of sanctification and perfection. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So I can be made into a free man. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Praise God. God wants to make us free from the past, because he is the God that was. Amen. The God that was. Amen. To give in to the lies of the past is also to reject the power of the cross to wipe away or to clean the past out of our lives. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm not letting my past dictate my future. You can say that without God, and you're going to have a tough, tough road. But with God, if we understand what he has done for us, we can be made the righteousness of God in him.
Amen.
Romans 8:31. Praise God. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. I thought someone would shout hallelujah on that one. Praise God. I'm trying to build up to a preaching message here. Amen. Wish I had a camera. I could just take a picture and show y'all what it looks like from up here. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. We've got something exciting. Amen, Pastor. Amen. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? How do we know that God is for us? How do we know that? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Look at that this morning. I want you to look at that this morning. Who in the world has the right to lay a charge against God's elect? Amen. Nobody does. And if they do, they're wrong. Amen. But it doesn't dictate my life. It is God that justifieth. Everybody said justified. Amen. There it is. Sanctified again. Sanctification. Justification. It is God that justifies. Amen. Gavin's a sinner and I'm God. All right? Hey, man, I think you're all right. I want you to come and be a part of my family. All right? But Hunter's got a problem with you here. He don't like you. He don't like the way you comb your hair. He doesn't like the way you walk. He don't like the way you talk. So, who are you going to believe, him or me? All right. Good job. Who are you going to believe? You going to believe all your friends at school? You going to believe other people that say this, that, and the other about you and put you down? Are you going to believe yourself? That down on the inside, you're talking about yourself. You know what? I don't know about you, but I'm more self-critical of myself than anybody's been of me. And I look at myself, and I don't see a whole lot of good. Well, praise the Lord. That's the best amen I got this morning. Now you're really making me feel bad. Dear Lord, help us. Amen. I look at myself, I don't see a whole lot, but I can't look at myself through my eyes or through somebody else's eyes. Can I borrow your glasses this morning, Garrett? Woo! I can see the cells in your skin. I can't look through your eyes. I can't look through your eyes. It doesn't work. Amen. Brother Troy, people on the job, it doesn't matter what they say. Oh, it does when you're right in the big middle of it. But somewhere you've got to come back down to the understanding of where I really am in God. God justified me. Well, I feel the Holy Ghost here. I really do. I feel the Holy Ghost this morning. And I want to be an encouragement to somebody here today. Amen. He is the God who was. He lives there. He ministers in that area. Who is he that condemneth? Amen. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. And so, who has the right to condemn? There's one who has the right to condemn. And only one. And it's not me. And it's not you. And it's not anybody else out there in the world. It's God. Don't fear those that can take your life away, but fear him who can cast your soul into hell fire. Praise God. And if God condemned, if he's condemning the world, then he would have never went to Calvary. But he's not condemning the world. Jesus said, I did not come to condemn, I come to save. I came to save. The day of condemnation has not come yet. And if God chooses to do that, he is righteous in his judgment. I've seen him do that, but I'm telling you, he doesn't do it very often. His mercy endures forever. Amen. Who is he that condemneth? No, The only one that can do that is God Almighty. And right now, he is making intercession for us, according to that scripture. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Now, here's what condemns. Here's what lays the charge against God's elect. Those two areas right there. Amen. Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay or no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. So in other words, when we are destroyed by the world, we are kept safe in the hand of God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. It is God that justifies. It is God who condemns and God who justifies. And when he justifies, it's just as if I'd never sinned. Amen. And he sanctifies. But praise God, he doesn't just sanctify, he perfects. Amen. He finishes the work. There is a plan for your life. I say that over and over again. Amen. And then lastly, who was the sacrifice for? Well, some people on apostolic pews, some people on church pews in our country, they say, well, he died for so-and-so because they're a good person, but he didn't do it for me. There was a lady that came here to our church quite a few years ago, and she said, I won't be back. And I said, why? She said, I've just sinned too much. God won't forgive me for my sins. And she followed through. She has not been back as far as I know. What a shame. What a shame. What a shame to wake up in the morning depressed every day. What a shame to wake up every morning and look out the window of your world and see chaos and confusion. But isn't it better to look out the window and see opportunity,
amen,
blessings? Look out your window and see God.
Amen.
See God in your future. See God in your day. I think that would be a whole lot better, don't you?
Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. But sometimes we sit on apostolic pews, and God help us as the ministry, amen, that we don't give a message that is skewed in some way to give the impression to people that if you don't measure up in every little bitty teeny tiny area, that God's got a big billy club and he's going to knock your head off. And that there's no hope for you and there's no future for you. I'm not talking about willful sin. I'm not talking about sin that you're doing and you know it's not right. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about relationship with God where you can wake up in the morning and say, this morning I'm justified. And God's perfecting me. And if you want to look at all my little faults, go right ahead. Because there's a lot of them you can look at. Why do I keep getting all those amens when I'm talking about myself like that? You've seen them. I've been here long enough. You know my faults. Amen. And you've been here long enough. I know a lot of your faults too. But you know what? I'm not going to stand at the front door of the church. And when you walk in, I'm going to say, have you gotten victory over that yet? No. Get in there and pray. You gotten victory over that yet? No. Get in there and pray. You got victory over that? Yep, yep. Get in there and pray. You ain't right either. In every service, it's a service of condemnation and guilt that there every time we come together, it's the remembrance of sin again. It's the remembrance of sin. But I read in the scriptures that when we do that when we do Holy Communion, that we remember what he did. How long? How long? Till he comes. This, do this in remembrance of me, what he did, not what I did. Not what I did, but what he did until he comes. So when we come to church, praise God. You still love the Lord? Hey, get in there and worship. You still love the Lord? Get in there and praise God. You still walking with God? Get in there and praise the Lord. And instead of a service of condemnation and guilt, we're going to have a service of praise and worship unto our God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And you say, well, how can I get that sanctification? There's only one way, and it's through the gospel. And I'm finishing here this morning. But 1 Corinthians 15 talks about the gospel, and it says that Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose again. Peter preached the gospel on the day of Pentecost, the first day of the New Testament church, and there was a lot of things that needed to be taken care of, and that was the fact that these people standing before him had crucified the Lord of glory. That's a big sin. But I'm telling you this morning, they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And what did he say? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. For what? Remission. I'm going to blot it out. I'm going to wash it away. We die in repentance. The Bible says in Romans 6 and 4 that we are buried with him in baptism. We die in repentance, we are buried in baptism, and we experience the resurrection in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it wonderful? Let's stand together this morning. Praise God. It's wonderful to know that when you're walking in this world, no, I'm not perfect. Anybody that tells you they're perfect, anybody that walks around pointing fingers at others and saying, well, I do this. Do you do that? Well, no. Well, I worshiped on Sunday night. Did you? Well, no. Hey, listen. Don't take it. Amen. Don't walk around with a high spiritual standard for everybody else, because you and I both know that none of us can measure up to a high spiritual standard unless God helps us. There's only one that I know of that went to the third heaven. That was the Apostle Paul. And I don't know anybody that's like him. But I'll tell you what, he had the attitude, I am the least of the least of the brethren, and I'm not even worthy. I'm preaching simply because God justified me. He sanctified me. And then he said, I'm going to perfect you. I'm going to call you into the ministry to the Gentiles. And then he got caught up in revelations, visions, understanding of the Word of God, where the Apostle Peter said, you know, that Paul, he writes things that are hard to understand. I know he was an ignorant and unlearned fisherman, but he said some of his stuff is deep. But the Apostle Paul, he said, I am what I am by the grace of God. Amen. And he got sick, infirmity in his flesh, and he prayed, God, so I can run this race more efficiently, God, would you help me? That was Paul's plan, wasn't it? Amen. That was his motive. That was his reason. But he prayed one time. Came to the altar, was anointed, prayed for. Nothing happened. Another time they got together, maybe he got some other people together and said, please pray for me. I've got this infirmity. And the Bible says that it was a messenger of Satan to buffet or to hinder him. And nothing happened. He left the service, and there it was, buffeting him and hindering him. Who knows what it was? Some said it was a bad back, that he walked with a limp, and some said that he had really bad eyes because of the large letters that he wrote. Nobody really knows, but it was a messenger of Satan. So another time got around and said, please, let's pray one more time. I need to get victory over this. I need to get liberty over this. Have you ever come to the altar and you prayed and you pray and you pray, people pray for you and you leave and nothing changes? You know what God may be trying to show you? Is that you are sanctified no matter what's happening in your life.
Amen.
That His grace is sufficient, and that His perfection, He wants to finish the work in your life. And finally, the Lord spoke to him and said, I'm not going to take it away. Because if I turn this wild horse loose, he's going to run himself to death and he's going to be a castaway. He will become lifted up in pride and he will be lost. And I love him too much. I've got to hold the reins back. Whoa, boy, whoa. Paul was a racehorse. Me, I'm just an old ox. I'm a plodder. Oh, boy. Ooh. You ever been on one of them horses? High-spirited horse. And he just wants to go. You got to hold him back. And then Paul said, I gladly rejoice in my infirmities. For when I am weak, then he is strong. Anybody feel what I feel here this morning? I know I'm not shouting and preaching off the housetops here this morning, but I'm telling you, you don't have to do that to have God in your life. Amen. If you just understand who you are in Him, I have been sanctified and I have been justified, and now He's perfecting me. Oh, I'm not where I need to be. But praise God, I'm not where I used to be. Thank you, Jesus. And it's me and the Lord. It's me and you as long as we get along. Praise God. But if one day you decide you're not serving God anymore, I'm going to serve God. That's all I've got to say this morning. I'm going to serve God. Does anybody else feel that same way this morning? I've made up my mind. Not just a made up mind. Now I can't live without Him.
Amen.
He's become so wonderful. He's become so awesome. I can't live without Him now. Amen. I've got to have Him in my life. I've got to seek His face. I've got to call upon Him daily. Amen. Because He is my lifeline. He is the only one that's been with me through the thick and through the thin. Praise God. Do you need God in your life this morning? Say, no, I got it all figured out. I'm going to do this, that, and the other. Well, you're foolish this morning. What you need to say is, if the Lord will, if the Lord will. Let's pray together. Can we do that? Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. God, we lean on You this morning. God, we put our trust and confidence in You this morning. God, we put our hope in You this morning. Everything that we are. Come on, somebody, lift your voice with me. You know how to pray. Come on, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh, God, I don't need a cheerleader for worship. I don't need a cheerleader for prayer. I've got to have it. I've got to do it because it's my lifeline to the one who saved me, the one who redeemed me. Praise God.